Reverend Father, dear fellow clerics, dear faithful, today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament. Not in the letter, but in the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now if the ministration of death, engraven with letters upon stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him, saying, 'Master, what must I do to gain eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down by the same way, and seeing him pass by, in like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near to him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And going up to him, he bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence, and gave to the host, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I will repay thee when I return.' Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" But he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Thus far the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, as we all know, and maybe it is a good thing for us to be reminded, our faith demands of us a very deep charity. In today's epistle, we learn from St. Paul that we are not to behave like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very concerned about external things, outward practices. They performed their actions necessary so that others could call them zealous lovers of the law. For whom did they perform their actions? For others, for themselves, that they could grow in the glory of men. But internally, they were not ardent. Their hearts were not in their actions, but rather full of wickedness. It is for this reason that our Lord justly condemned them. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you make clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but within you are full of rapine and uncleanness. Thou blind Pharisee, make first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside may become clean also." And for these would be the words of Isaiah: "For as much as the people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they glorify me, their heart is far from me." So says St. Paul, let us not follow the Pharisaical interpretation of the law, in which our religious duties are reduced only to outward practices, but rather let us perform our religious duties with all the fervor of our hearts, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. And the same must be said for our duty in charity. There is much which we can elaborate upon with regards to this virtue. And the gospel tells us, for instance, that we must see every man as our neighbor. When the man asked our Lord, "Who is my neighbor?" our Lord in a way played a trick on him. He turned it around. Instead of answering, "This person or that person is my neighbor, to this person only do I have to perform charitable actions," he turned it around. He said, "You must look upon everyone as your neighbor, and you must be the neighbor towards them." Which of those three, he asked him, was the neighbor? And then he says to him, like the Samaritan, "Go and do in like manner." When we pray, my dear friends, focusing on this love that we owe directly to God, where is our heart? Where is our heart when we pray? That is a question we have to ask ourselves often. We're reminded of the man who thought that he could pray very well. And so he went to a saint declaring such, and the saint said to him, "Okay, go ahead and pray the Our Father. If you can do it without distraction, I will give you my beast, my steed." And the man began to pray, and then he stopped and he asked, "Will you also give me the saddle?" You know, it is the distractions that pop up in our prayer. Who can pray even an Our Father, a Hail Mary, without distraction? It is easier, my dear friends, for one who loves, for one who is filled with the love of God. Saint Bernadette was so wrapped up in her conversation with our Blessed Mother that she didn't even notice that somebody had put a burning candle to her hand. Saint Dominic Savio, at the end of his life, on a bed of pain, in his final struggles, was so taken with the vision that he had that he cried out, "Oh, what a beautiful thing I see." And Saint John Bosco testifies to that. For those who love, the world could collapse around them. But their love for their beloved is so great that to converse with that person, to be with that person, to be united to that person, consumes them entirely. There was a young man who had very tight finances, and it was close to the end of the week. It was Thursday after work, and he stopped at a gas station. His pickup truck was out of gas, and he remembered that his beloved was at home. And so he wanted to go to her family's house and to visit them, and to visit especially her. But he hadn't any gas. Not even secure that he could get back to his own residence. He went through his pickup truck and he dug up every coin that he could find. It amounted to about $2.36. It was just enough in those days to get him to her house. He wasn't even sure he was going to get home that day. We are easily distracted with our beloved when we love. And the world can collapse around us in a way it doesn't matter. Nothing will interrupt that communication. Are your prayers, my dear friends, made simply to fulfill your duty? Are we happy when they're over? Do we procrastinate in them? Say them quickly and then we're done with them. Heaven help us if that is the case with regards to our Mass. Yesterday on the pilgrimage, I told the story of the older gentleman who was dying and who insisted that his children get to daily Mass. Such a one loved God very much, and he loved the sacrifice, which he knew would please God very much. Heaven forbid, if that is our attitude towards the Mass, that we are happy when it's ended. We come only at the very beginning, and we leave even before it is over. My dear friends, our Savior has given us a great help to love him more. And that is the devotion to the Sacred Heart. We can only experience this to appreciate it. No words will suffice. A priest oftentimes is hindered in a way, and it's a cross because we would love so much to communicate the goodness that God has revealed to us. And yet our words do not suffice. Our tongue is a mere human instrument. God uses it, thank goodness. He gives grace, he inspires. He gives grace to the hearts that hear it so that they can get a message which even the priest does not say because his words are insufficient. And so oftentimes the only answer is for you to go and to ask our Lord, to go before our Lord, to spend time with him. If we have the opportunity to go before the Blessed Sacrament, You know, the doors of heaven open to us. In benediction, we look at the little accidents of bread that are before us, and that's like a window into heaven. We think about our Blessed Mother kneeling there before the Blessed Sacrament and pointing to it for us. Look there. It's a window to heaven. We get to see God with our faith through that little window. And He calls to us. One of the great complaints of the Sacred Heart to Saint Margaret Mary was that all that He has given to man in His passion, in His death, in giving them His Eucharistic heart, it's not returned. He loves us so much with a love ineffable. If we understood that love, it would blot out all else in our life. And how little do we give in return? Let us go and see. We have to ask our Lord. He says to us, "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." So many souls who are troubled walk away from our Lord. They walk away from the very source of their true consolation, their true strength. Souls leave the practice of their faith when they are burdened. That is a great tragedy, because it is to Him that we should go when we are burdened. He is the only one that will give us refreshment. Nothing else will satisfy. He wants us to bear crosses, but He will help us to bear those crosses for the love of Him. You know, we go before Him and we don't look for sense consolation. We're not looking for a great emotional peace of soul. But if we go to Him with humility, with honesty, asking Him as a child would pray to his father, "Please help me to love you more," we walk away with a greater determination. I want to do the will of God. I want to serve Him. I want to love Him more. You know, St. Alphonsus says that desire is so efficacious that if we at least desire to love God more, we already love Him more. If we desire to go to heaven, we are already on the pathway to heaven. It's like the man that came before our Lord, and our Lord in a way lightly rebuked him because of his lack of faith. And he said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And so when we go before our Lord and we recognize the hardness of our heart, the pettiness of our attitude, then let us ask our Lord, "Teach me how to love you more. Give me your love." My dear friends, you have to go and see. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the fons totius consolationis, the font of all consolation. True consolation. Consolation that moves towards activity, that makes us do the will of God. Well, my dear friends, the very best teacher of that, of course, is our Blessed Mother. In the symbol that the society has chosen for its own, the Cor Unum, we see those two hearts linked together. They burn with the same divine fire of love. And Our Lady, being so pure, so immaculate, and of course being that, given that tremendous gift of being the Mother of God, was given a tremendous insight into the love that burns in the Sacred Heart. And if we wish to appreciate that, if we wish to live according to that, if we wish to respond, to reciprocate, we can do no better than to go to she who reciprocated most perfectly. St. Maximilian Kolbe calls her the divine complement, as if of all creatures, the one that corresponds, that responds to the invitation and the love of God the best is our Blessed Mother. And so let us go to her, my dear friends, and ask her that she may teach us something of this love, that she may implant it as mediatrix of all graces in our hearts, so that we can burn with that love ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.